World War One on the BBC.
The 25th of July. Austria-Hungary's ultimatum to Serbia will expire at 6 p.m. today. If Serbia doesn't accept all its terms, it will mean war.
We want no war. Down with war.
There are large peace demonstrations in Berlin. The socialists, among others, are worried that Germany's ally will drag it into a conflict.
Not one drop of blood of one single German soldier must be spilt for the sake of Austria's interested profit takers. We want no war.
Big business is worried too. Panicking investors are selling off shares. The German stock market plunges. In Serbia, the government is trying to decide how to answer the ultimatum. They're waiting to find out if Russia will support them against Austria-Hungary. By lunchtime, the Serbians hear that Russia is indeed with them. Immediately, they mobilize their army and start to evacuate Belgrade as a precaution. In a final attempt to avoid war, though, Serbian ministers keep tinkering with the reply, trying to be as conciliatory as possible without giving up Serbia's independence. A Serbian official writes,
"At last, after 4 p.m., the text seemed finally settled, and an attempt was made to type it out. But the secretary was inexperienced and nervous, and the typewriter refused to work. So the reply had to be written out by hand. The last half hour was one of feverish work."
At 5:45, Serbia's reply is finally ready. The Prime Minister, Nikola Pašić, rushes to the Austrian embassy and arrives just before the deadline of 6 p.m. In his halting German, he tells the ambassador,
"Part of your demands we have accepted. We place our hopes on your loyalty and chivalry as an Austrian general."
The ambassador, Giesel, takes a cursory glance and sees at once that Serbia has not accepted all of Austria-Hungary's conditions. He and his government have anticipated this. After all, the ultimatum has been designed by Vienna to be unacceptable. Giesel takes his leave. He's already burned the embassy code books in his garden. Now he, his wife and his staff make their way by car to the railway station, through streets jammed with crowds. 40 minutes later, they cross the Austrian border. At the first stop on home territory, he takes a phone call from the Hungarian Prime Minister, István Tisza.
"Must it really be like this?"
The same day, the Russians order a partial mobilization of their troops against Austria-Hungary. The Russian government is still hoping to avoid a confrontation further north with Germany, but it feels obliged to take preliminary measures. Its great distances mean that Russia takes longer than the other powers to get its armies into position. The Russians try to keep their preparations secret, but the evidence is there for anyone to see. Maurice Palliologue, the French ambassador, bumps into a colleague at the railway station in St. Petersburg.
"There was a great bustle on the platform. The trains were packed with officers and men. We rapidly exchanged impressions and came to the same conclusion. It's war this time."